Here we go.
Who the hell are you, man?
Genius, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist.
We are the Knights!
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Knights and Nerds Do podcast. We're a podcast for all things nerd. My name is Chris. I'm here with...
Disney shill Sam.
Top that one.
No, John.
And Sean.
Good, Sam. I like it. Anyway, tonight's episode, what we're going to do, we're still kind of getting our Oscar ducks in a row here. We're going to review Parasite. I believe John saw this a few months ago.
So did Sam.
And yeah. So did Sam.
And we may have talked about it on the podcast.
You like dusted over it. I don't think you guys really went into details or anything.
We don't really remember what we said at the time. But it deserves a revisit.
Right. Yeah.
But all four Knights have now watched the movie.
Yeah.
And we can discuss that and give it our ratings, actually. And I finally saw Joker. There are some thoughts on that. We can revisit
Hulker.
This will kind of lead into a general overall Oscar discussion, which we're probably going to be doing every week until the actual Oscars happen.
So one more week.
So, yeah. One more week.
Next
and
Sunday.
Probably an Oscar review.
Yeah. Yeah. Stay tuned for Sam and my Oscar wags. Yeah. That'll be happening next week.
Is that open invite?
Yeah. Open invite if you guys want to show up. But
no, I'll be here. When are we doing it?
I don't know. We have to figure that out.
All right.
I think
the day after the Oscars, so we're all correct.
It's the wag off.
Oh boy.
We also have to start planning for night fights or whatever?
Oh yeah,
fight night. Yeah,
it's March, right?
March Madness.
We skipped last year.
Yeah, but the previous 2 years were pretty good.
Yeah,
we'll come up with something.
If anybody has any ideas for fight night. Or would just like to be on the episode.
Yeah.
It's a fun episode. So
it's usually done when we're all hanging out and like, oh yeah, we didn't do that, and we just walk in here and
usually a few beverages involved prior.
Oh god,
to,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
For sure.
Oh yeah.
For sure.
We don't think straight.
And then we have some news. So yep. I say we start off with Parasite.
All right, go ahead.
Tackle it down there. John, you want to give a big boy synopsis quick? Or?
Sure. Parasite, which is the Korean selection for foreign language film of the year for the Oscars, and also nominated for best picture, best foreign, best a lot of things. I don't know, maybe it has like 8 noms or something like that.
Is it 8 or 6? I thought it was 6.
It's been pretty well rewarded, I'll say that much. Mm-hmm. Anyway, is a Korean movie about two sets of families, one who is... poor, borderline on destitute, just living in a basement somewhere, and trying to do literally anything for work when one of the son's friends from school gives him essentially a recommendation to go work for this very wealthy family as a tutor, and he slowly brings his sister along, and essentially, I mean, without really spoiling it, you know, one family ends up essentially gaslighting the other. Which is actually like a corrective version way of using that for once, into essentially hiring them for all these different jobs. Mm. And the poor family becomes, get this, sort of a parasite to the rich one. And, you know, stuff happens from there. I guess we're going to go spoilery, but I think, did we all like this movie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Just like the director's other works, I'm a fan.
Yeah, sorry, directed by Bong Joon-ho, which many of you might know from Snowpiercer, or the Netflix hit Okja.
And he also did The Host, which is the first movie I watched that he directed.
And is that a horror movie?
It's like a monster movie.
Okay.
It's pretty good. All of these movies have the same actor in it. So the dad from this, he's in all of these movies.
Is he?
Yeah. That the guy who ends up being the driver.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in...
Mr. Kim.
Yeah, he's in all of them.
Mr. Kim.
Yep.
Anyway, so this... Okay. So I've seen this movie now 2 1/3 times because I watched it in theaters, watched it earlier this week, and then Sean was watching it when I got here, so I caught the last third. And I'll tell you, this movie is immensely rewarding on a rewatch.
John... I'm going to back you up on that because I only watched it once in the theaters. And I showed up about a third of the one third of the way left of it.
Two thirds of the way in, Sam.
Or two thirds. Yeah, two thirds.
Simple
of the way
math.
Don't correct me. Okay?
We're way too early into the pod to be discussing math.
But like, I was the same way. I was just sitting there. I'm like, wow. I feel like I'm enjoying this more than the first
time. Yeah, because there's if somebody were to ask me what is this movie, it would be incredibly hard to describe it in like a concise, like one sentence, like, or even like, you know, people are typically asking, oh, it's a crime movie, it's a thriller, it's a horror, or, you know, whatever. This is, I don't know, a dark comedy bordering on thriller with at times feels very much like a horror movie, I guess. And yeah. It's also a movie that actually has like something to say, which we maybe get in a little bit earlier later, but not all the Oscar ones this year feel that way. But it's not really like up its own ass about it either, which is nice.
Yeah,
it's just like, hey, look at the rich people versus poor people thing, huh?
It's nice because I feel like if this was an American film, people would criticize that. But I feel like because it's a Korean film, and there really is a huge difference between upper class and lower class there, compared to like here where there is a middle class.
Yeah, but I think it translates just about the same. Or I think it's easy to understand at least.
Did you guys, speaking of the class stuff?
Oh boy.
I loved how it was shot in a way that when the guy is first interviewing to the rich people, it's all uphill. Yeah. Whenever you look at it, it's all uphill.
Yeah.
Because you're going up in society.
Yeah.
And then, like, when the rain started and everything, it was a long walk down.
Mm-hmm. And that's, like, just... And he really, like, spends his time on that, too. Because, like, you could do the thing where you just, like, okay, they ran, and then now they're at their house, and it's, like, flooded out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, they, you know, like, really took the time. And what I think struck me, because, like, the second time around, you just kind of, like, drink it in. The cinematography on this movie is, like, absolutely beautiful, yes, too.
I was thinking the same thing.
Especially
production quality.
It helps because you're not focusing on the subtitles.
Right? Yeah. The second time around, when I was watching an hour, I think, with you, right?
Yeah.
So that was my second time watching it. And it was so much better. There's certain things you pick up that you just simply don't.
Yeah. You're maybe it's the subtitles too. You're a little too like keyed in.
Yeah.
And it's a very tense movie. So like, you're kind of wrapped up.
You know
in
what
that
also helped second time around watching it, although I watched a third of it, but was going into it, I had heard the rumors of, oh, the second half, it gets weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember walking out of that being like, well, the second half didn't get as weird as I kind of wanted it to. But this time watching it, I was like, oh, I can just settle into this. I know this is how weird it's going to get.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't have to expect anymore.
Yeah.
I think a lot with foreign films, it's a lot of the first round is always, what are they saying?
Yeah.
Make sure you got understood that. And then the second time around, you can pick up on the, you know, the mannerisms and things like that. Like when they were hiding underneath the table.
And
the parents were kind of doing it in the weirdest way. It's just you pick up on certain things where it's just, wait a second.
Yeah. Like the first time you're watching, it's like, oh God, are they going to like fuck on the couch? And yeah, pretty much.
Turn it clockwise. That's the weirdest thing ever.
You also pick up on the humor a bit more the second time around.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, you definitely do. Just giggling like a schoolgirl down there.
This is one of those movies that's sneaky funny.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of you go back and watch it the second time too. It's like a Shaun of the Dead Hot Fuzz thing where like a lot of kind of hints, foreshadowings kind of stuff that you just would never have picked up the first time around. So everyone kind of liked it, I guess?
I did.
Yeah.
I have to admit, after the first watch, I was lower on my rating. But after a few days of digesting and then watching it a second time, it spiked.
Yeah.
It really did spike.
The first time I watched this, is like, oh, that's a cool, fun, weird, foreign movie. And now I watched it, I'm like, oh, this is like actually kind of great.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. I thought they all did great. They won ensemble, right?
Yeah, cast ensemble at the SAG
Awards. And I can absolutely see why. I can absolutely see why. Yeah.
The family like definitely bonds like as actors and whatnot. Like it's very believable as like that kind of family that sticks together and cons together, I guess.
Well, it's not just that, the interactions between the other family as well. Yeah. They all really did well.
Well, you know, like the poor family, they're all very close, whereas the rich family, they like very separated.
Yeah, it's everyone's very, kind of yeah. on their own.
You almost never see two of them in the same room at one time.
Yeah, and I think this was written well and directed well, where it really does show the polar opposites of certain things. Yeah. But aside from just the high class and the low class, it's you're right. It's the family that's very interconnected to each other, and then you know they all work the same job folding pizza boxes.
Yeah,
I want to say it's, and then it's just the one guy who works doing whatever tech stuff he does. So I didn't even know what he does, but
yeah, even like the 2 seconds you're in the internet cafe or whatever. It's just, such a nice, shot, and it's, I don't know, just the way she's, smoking while she's, doing this, forged transcript, and it's, you can't smoke in here, so she's just dumping it in a coffee cup.
One thing that I noticed after that, so the next scene, he shows her all the transcripts and stuff, and she's like, oh, this doesn't matter. You notice how, when he grabs it, he puts his arm over it, to cover it up, to be like, I am hiding something.
Oh, yeah.
That's one thing I noticed, it was pretty cool. Because, if you have a fake document and they're like, oh, that's nice, and they give it back, you're going to be like, no, stop looking at it. Or, right. I'm going to put it away somewhere so you can't see it anymore.
Let me just eat this. We don't need this anymore.
Right. It was that kind of, thing where it was, he was awkwardly, blocking it with his forearm. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, it's a real nice, use of humor throughout because it's otherwise, would be, very tense the whole time.
Yeah.
Because it's, essentially just people, being, frauds and, charlatans, is that the right word? We're just gonna pass on that one.
Do you guys think that the dude who recommended him knew that they were cons?
No. Because he didn't seem to know his family at all.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, now I got to see your family, which I swear to God was just assuming he was going to come back and be like, oh, hey, why is your whole family here?
Yeah.
Or
isn't that seem it's set up
perfect?
Yeah,
why are you in love with the girl I'm in love with
kind of thing. There was a few moments throughout this movie where I actually thought, oh, man, the jig is up now. Yeah. Now we're going to get the climax. We're going to get the peak.
So one thing that I've always, since I've seen all of, was it Bong Joon-ho's movies, or at least the big four, he always has this kind of it's a serious movie, but there are the comedic undertones in the movies. So The Host is a horror monster movie, but it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
It carries over. Snowpiercer has its funny moments, even though that's based on a comic book. And even Okja, if you ever watch Okja, Jake Gyllenhaal is hilarious because he's an over the top, Steve Irwin type character, a TV personality that loves animals, but he's so over the top, it's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of movie that it just looks like everyone's having fun with it, you know, and it's so just ridiculous at times. Like you have this over the top in its own way, kind of garden party where someone's playing the cello and someone's singing classical ballads, and it is intercut between a guy smashing another guy over the head with a giant rock. It's I don't know, you don't get that a lot. Well,
that's the transition where we go from in the beginning it's the poor family that's the parasites, and at the end it's the rich family that's the parasites.
Right.
You think so?
Yeah, because they're just using these people.
Yeah.
Oh,
You never picked up on that?
At the very end, not really.
They're just using it. That's why the dad
transition.
That's why the
dad kills
Mr. Kim kills the other dad.
Yeah.
Because he's just like, you're
just. He just needed him to, because he's being paid.
He's
like,
you're getting paid extra for this.
Needed the girl to deliver the cake as the trophy, you know?
Yeah. Mm. I thought that line you just said, Sean, you're getting paid extra for this, that's the only thing I'm watching this now, seeing that scene 3 times. I don't know if it just doesn't translate or what, but it seems to just turn on a note that doesn't quite make sense. I mean, you could tell, I guess they're both the fathers, but the poor father. And I never realized, by the way, that there was that perfect symmetry of there's 4 of each of them, and they're sort of replacing each other in some sense. But, it's set up pretty much at the end after they talk about how much he smells.
Yeah.
how, you know, clearly he's like getting very pissed off with the situation. Right. But yeah, I don't know. For some reason, just that that conversation they have where it seems to turn sour, like that's just out of nowhere. It just was weird to me.
I thought that was more or less like
the switch.
Mr. Kim is talking where he's like, "Oh, you're doing this because you love your wife."
Oh yeah.
And then the other guy clearly doesn't really care about his family that much or his wife. He goes, "Well, you're getting paid extra." Just sort of he's just assuming, "Oh, this is all just all about money. Yeah. This isn't about family. This isn't about love. This is just all about money."
Yeah. Like, don't worry about it. You're getting paid either way.
Now, when you guys... I know we're skipping to the end here, but when you guys saw the end, I immediately said, what's the point of this movie? Because he wrote the letter to his dad, and he's like, I made a plan to get a job, get money, and then he'd buy the house.
Do you think he will?
Oh, good call. Yeah.
Because I don't think he will. That's some combination of, like a dream or unreliable narrator. Well, I guess it's not unreliable narrator. He's never saying that it actually happens, right. But...
You see that glimpse of it happening, but then it like pans back to the apartment, and then it goes down, and he's still sitting there right
now. Oh, all right. I see what you're saying. Yep.
What I just found crazy was like... it's like, with almost just like a flick of a switch, it turns into this weird like... like man versus like impossible challenge movie where like he's living in the basement that like no one knows about. And it's like what, like this? So it's just this movie now.
Yeah,
and it's I like how it gave it that kind of like ambiguous, like you get to see it, but it probably didn't actually happen, sort of thing.
Right.
But yeah, it was just crazy to me, just like the kind of range that this movie brought.
I want to know. A lot of emotions. I want to know how long it took to translate that Morse code message. Because that was a letter. That was a letter.
Right.
That wasn't a short little SOS thing. Yeah. It's a full-fledged letter. Well, I don't know what language it would have been in at the time, but damn. He was out there in the snow for a while translating that.
I just... Well, first off, the one thing that, having now seen it, like... how does he get the letter back to his dad, or is he just writing that to himself?
I think he's just writing it to himself.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like, could be a glimpse of the future and what it actually is supposed to look like, or it could just be he's imagining this.
Yeah, I think
that's his dream. That's his dream.
He's writing it as like he's setting it as a goal for himself, that it's just a goal that he's never going to achieve. So like his goal is to save his dad, and it's just never going to happen because.
Oh, what does his father say about a plan? It's just another thing that's you know, not going to happen. Yeah. So.
Best kind of plan is no plan. Yeah,
it's a deep movie. Man.
It's the movie I've been thinking about. This is this movie I've thought about more over the few days after I've watched it, since almost every other one that I've seen this year.
Yeah,
and that says something.
It speaks to you on multiple levels, I guess you would say.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, my big thought about this. So. They would have been fine if they didn't get the housekeeper fired.
Yeah, they did get a little greedy.
Yeah, if they weren't that great. They had three people in that house, and nobody knew anything. They were all living the life.
They wanted the quad pod, dude.
I know.
The quad pod. And can I just say, the scene where like they're trying to figure out how to get the maid fired is like... incredible how like they're like acting it out on scripts and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you really pick it up a second time, like, oh my pointers. God, why is this even in this movie? But it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Right. How he's like talking. You're right, the whole thing.
Yeah, like the
whole thing is just ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. The son is consulting the father on like, you know, words of emphasis in his like complex line reading thing because they're gonna scrape some peaches on
in this in this like Tabasco sauce is the coup de grace.
Yeah. Make it look like blood.
It comes together nicely. I kind of really liked it.
We'll be talking this later on, but like, is movie starting to become like my horse in the race in the Oscars?
Oh, it's for sure mine.
Yeah.
So let's finish the ratings, and then we can do the discussion for the Oscars.
Right. Well, Sam and I think have already given it ratings, but I would, if this isn't the actual rating, But on the second rewatch, I'm going to give it like a 9.4. Maybe
wow, 9.4 higher. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know what I gave it.
I think, John, I think you gave it a 9 and Sam a 9.1.
You were a 9.1, Sam, yeah.
Okay, good. Because I was like, I don't know if I gave this a 9, but it deserves a 9.
Yeah. Chris, what did you give this?
Currently, it's at 7.88.
Wow.
It originally started at a 7, but then it just kept growing. Yeah.
I settled in with a 9.0.
9 even.
Yep.
So that's, what's that average?
Okay, that's probably a 9.
That's like a 9? Oh, so it's certified noble.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a
definitely,
great movie.
Definitely. I think I might watch it again.
Now I might go back and watch it after seeing a third.
Well, Sam, if you hurry up home, I have it rented for 24 hours.
By an account where he doesn't know who paid for it.
Yeah, I have no idea. It's like Russian roulette with that. Because it was somebody's credit card. I don't know whose.
So there's going further with this, there's a lot of talk out there that the movie 1917 and this movie Parasite are the two front runners for the Best Picture nom.
And I would probably agree with them.
And so far I would say, yeah, I agree. Anybody disagree with that?
Well, I really loved Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I can understand why it's not for everybody, but I would thought that would have like tickled, especially like it's so not gauged to be an Oscar because it's Oscar bait, but because it's about LA and Hollywood and movie making.
Yeah.
And those kind of movies always seem to overperform. Like look at Argo winning. Yeah. You know, and La The La Artist. Land. You know? Yeah, La La Land coming very close.
Winning it for those 10 seconds.
Exactly. Yeah, coming closer than anybody's come before and still lost.
I like it. I kind of like the idea of them throwing, you know, a curveball in there. And sure, this is a curveball if they choose this. But
it is. I mean, at the moment, I'd say it's probably like, I mean, 1917 is a favorite, not prohibitive in the way some other the categories are. This is probably like the second favorite at the moment is Parasite, and everything else is kind of like, it's kind of a two horse race.
Did the director for this win? He won the, not the Producers Guild.
I don't think he hasn't won anything.
Yeah,
so okay. they just had the directors one last weekend, and Parasite 1917 won for that.
1917 won?
Yeah.
I thought Parasite won for Best Picture for something.
Screen Actors Guild.
Was it SAGs? Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, of like the ones before it, it couldn't play at all in the Oscar, in the Golden Globes, because they don't do any of the foreign ones. So like that doesn't really count. I don't know. It's close. It could conceivably go to Parasite. But the only thing with Parasite is like it's a weird movie, you know?
The Oscars don't usually go to weird movies.
Yeah, and they do the preferential ballot, so if, like, you know, there's no outright winner on the first one, they go to everyone's second choice. So, you know, like, a movie that's, like, kind of broadly popular but no one's favorite stands a good chance. Like, Green Book last year, I feel like, was a little bit on that edge.
Yeah, that was a consensus choice, definitely.
Right. But we'll see. We'll see. It'd be very interesting to see if Parasite wins. I mean, I think, you know, look, I like 1917. I know I put up a little stink about it with Dunkirk. And
yes, you did.
That was more of a thought exercise and more about Dunkirk than 1917. But, I liked Parasite the first time. I loved it the second time. And I don't know. I think it's closer to, like, what you want to hold movies up to. Whereas 1917... is like a really like thrilling and well done movie, but I don't really think there's anything on the bone, you know? And it's not that Parasite has like a message or whatever. I mean, it does, and that's maybe an aspect of it. Yeah. It's not super important to me, but it does have something to say.
Yeah, Parasite brings some new stuff to the table, whereas 1917 doesn't bring anything really.
Yeah.
Right. It does.
It's probably the best version of what you've seen before, you've seen it before.
Yeah, you've seen it before, but it's they did it very, very well.
It's tough though. It's really tough.
Yeah, it's like what do you want more? Something original or something done but that's not original but done better than anything else.
Yeah.
It's like essentially a better remake.
Yeah.
It's the voters, too. It's all people in the industry and all that other stuff. So I'm tending to think they'll appreciate the way the movie is made more than the interesting movie.
Well, this is all about money too. It's how much these movies throw at them.
Yeah, it's a lot of politics, literally a lot of campaigning, and
things like that. Yes. So yeah, I think that's how Green Book kind of took it away.
I forget who came out with that, but this is by Neon, who's like a smaller studio, and it's I think distributed by like Universal. So we'll see.
Yeah, it is Universal. We'll see.
I don't know who's 1917. Is that Warner Brothers? Maybe. Maybe it was Universal.
I'm thinking Universal, but I have nothing to back that up with.
No, I don't think 1917 was Universal.
Oh, you know, I think it was like New Line or something.
I don't know. Anyway, no one gives a shit.
Anyway, well, what else?
It was Universal, by the way. It was Universal.
All right.
Ha! My gut was correct.
Can we go? Just Oscar complaint right now.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
So I've been listening to a lot of Oscar talk with mostly by like critics, and like the LA Times has a podcast that they release, and there's a few other ones that I listen to.
Do you like it?
It kind of. They have, I guess, overall complaints about the just the Oscars in general, like so white and not female directors and things like that. Right. And you know, half the time I just scream at them and say, "Name me a better movie than these five that were directed by a female." You know, things like that. But they're complaining, Little Women. This year, they're complaining a lot about it's a short Oscar season that doesn't give enough time to the people to actually critique the movies that have been presented. They've been complaining about that a lot, and they want to push it to the end of February, the Oscars to the end of February and voting and all that stuff. And I think it's utterly ridiculous that they do this, because these 8,000 people are in the industry and are paid and literally given free movies to watch from November, November, October, October, December, November, December, October. Those are the months that these movies have come out. There's 9 movies, and they have 3 months to watch these movies. I mean, come on. It's not that hard to do.
No.
So you have all Oscars should be January 31st at the latest. There should be absolutely no complaining whatsoever about that people don't have enough time.
I like it this year because it makes sense. You're not fighting the juggernaut that is the NFL. So they're
you're not going to do it Super Bowl Sunday.
Even the Pro Bowl kind of scares them off a little bit because
does?
Yeah, I feel like it does.
I don't know what the numbers were for this year's Pro Bowl.
It brings enough people, that's exactly for sure.
So I like doing it the weekend after the Super Bowl because you know you're going to get a lot of people and it's early enough. I agree with you, Chris. There's no reason this should be at the end of February, early March.
No, absolutely
not. It's stupid. Yeah. But at the same time, how come only Oscar movies are released in November, December, and sometimes
we don't need to release like all these good movies within 2 months. Like we could stretch it out a little bit.
It's just it's political because they want these movies fresh in people's minds.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
But
there you go. So clearly, they don't need to stew then. You know?
No, they don't. It should be like this is on the studios for releasing it this way.
I get their point, but at the same time, it's also like you know you're going to, if you're a member of the Academy, you know you're going to have to vote. You generally know what kind of movies are going to be out, going to get nominated. Because, you know, there's enough buzz around them. You know, and you're working in the industry, so I'm assuming you like movies, so you're going to go see movies.
You hope you
I don't know. Movies. I'm almost willing to, I don't want to start trolling Oscar the people who are a part of the Academy.
Yeah, they listen.
But just if you follow,
they're members of the Illuminati. They'll come.
If I follow them on Twitter or something, maybe I'll follow somebody who says, "Oh, I'm actually watching this movie in the middle of the year," and then just follow and see. All right, well, this guy's in the Academy, but he's only watched 3 of the movies that are in the 5 of the category that he's supposed to be an expert in. You know, it's just I know for a fact that they all don't watch every movie that's out there.
Well, I mean, there's no way. It's impossible.
There's like thousands of movie made a year,
especially since they don't really go to the movies to watch these movies.
They get it for free.
They get it for free, and it's the studio goes to them and goes, "Hey, here's a free copy with $5,000 worth of like gifts in a gift box. It's for you, for free. And you're like, oh, gee, thanks. And then somebody else goes, here's our movie with 6,000. You're like, oh, this was a better movie. Like, that's literally how this works, and it's sad, but, I mean.
Sad.
Sad.
Yeah. It is annoying. I don't.
At the same time, it's like, we're also just not voting for president here. This is just, like, movies.
So. Right. It's something that's, like, literally, you know, I mean, it's totally objective. I mean, subjective. You know? Yeah. It's like,
you're voting on
heart. It's subjective and kind of pointless.
Like, right. Because what is it? I mean,
really doesn't matter who
it's,
wins.
It's you're literally voting on an art form. But, like, this painting was better than this one that's here.
Yeah, it's all personal taste.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, honestly, the last, I don't know, 10 years or whatever, I could probably every year find a movie that's at least, like, debatably better than what got Best Picture.
Yeah.
Like, it's never, like...
Yeah, I mean, like...
100%.
You got, like, Kubrick never winning for Best Director. Mm-hmm. I mean, not once.
Did he ever win... No, he never won a Best Picture
The
either.
Only one he ever won was visual effects for 2001.
Damn.
God, I hate that movie.
Such an amazing movie.
Do you guys want to...
Don't say watch 2001.
Yes.
Well, no, there's a 2001... Well, we don't have to talk about it on the podcast.
Is it science and nerd oriented?
It's in New York.
Yeah, like at the Guggenheim or something?
No, I think the Museum of Motion Moving Image or something like that.
Yeah, anyway. I've heard about that.
The Guggenheim? Guggenheim?
Guggenheim, whatever. You know.
Okay. Guggenheim, named after Steve Guggenheim.
I was close enough.
I guess.
Everybody knows what I mean.
Was Steve Guttenberg on a sitcom?
Oh, God. He was in Police Academy.
Police Academy
in
practically
Three Men and a
it.
Little Baby, right?
Yes.
All right. Do you guys want Joker takes?
Yes.
Let's go, Joker.
Lay him down.
I looked at your numbers after I like wrote my number down, and you guys are going to hate me, but I fucking love this movie.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know why. It's not as much as Parasite, but it's... I was thoroughly enjoyed by this movie. I don't know what it was. Well, I do know what it was. It was just... I rode the train, man. I rode the train from madness into insanity, and it was fantastic. It was just absolutely nuts and bonkers.
There is, like... Is there something about, like, living in a city? I mean, like, I commuted, you know, on the subway every day for, like, a couple years. But is there something where it's just, like... I don't know. Like, everyone just being on top of you, where it just seems kind of maddening, or...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just a itch at the scab that's always there. But I freaking loved it. And the music, I don't know if you guys remember the music for it, but the score was great. I think that was the standout.
Yeah, the score was really good.
The standout, aside from Joaquin Phoenix, the standout thing was the score, in my opinion.
And, like, how it builds throughout the movie.
Right,
really
it definitely
good.
Does.
Is it nominated for score?
It won.
Yes, it was. For what?
It won, the Golden Globes.
Is there something we don't know yet?
John's a time traveler.
Yeah, I'm a time traveler.
Write it down now. Oscar wins the score. Joker wins the Oscar.
So.
If you guys want to do Oscar's betting corner, by the way, I'm down for that. You want some picks now?
We can do that on our Oscar special.
Right. Yeah. Want to finish this one?
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's okay. A couple things. I really don't get. I think the biggest hole. There are holes in my love for this. If the biggest one is, I really didn't see a connection between him killing the three people on the subway to, like, anarchy in the city.
It was a bit of a jump.
To the rich.
It was a jump. Death of the rich.
It was a jump, and it was a pretty big jump. And there was no real connective tissue between the two things.
You know what I saw it as? I saw it as that was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Right.
Between the two warring classes, between the poor and the rich.
These are like the same movies.
I know.
Yeah, even the guy at the end keeps laughing for no reason.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
like, I remember watching that and being like, this is the beginning of Joker.
And the midget is like the guy who lives in the basement.
Yeah. Respect.
We shouldn't be laughing at that.
No, it's so funny though. That's how I look at it. Like, yeah, it seemed out of place, but I feel like because the warring classes weren't built enough before that, like, you didn't understand that was
the
breaking point.
It was hard to I don't know. It was hard to kind of wrap my head around that.
Yeah.
Another thing, I just... There was no belief whatsoever from the get-go that he was Bruce Wayne's son. No belief whatsoever.
No.
If Bruce Wayne... I would have liked it if Bruce Wayne was a teenager. Yeah, it would have made it better.
His age being such a young child was odd.
Not figuring out like the age between when he had an affair or whatever. I don't care about that.
I don't care.
I think it would have played better if he was a teenager, and in this quote unquote universe of four Jokers, the parents actually were killed when he was in high school or something, instead of when he was a kid. I think that said, I think all the Batman stuff, you know what I mean, stuff. Take it out. You don't need it.
No, you
don't.
Exactly.
You don't need it.
I did like the scene in the bathroom, though.
That was
him going up to the house and like...
Yeah, that was...
Going to the house and with the flowers.
Like, it was almost like fan service at that point.
It was fan service because that was Alfred, probably.
Like, Chris...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Chris, wouldn't this be a better movie if we saw nothing of the Waynes until like that riot at the end and you see a couple go into an alley with their kid and then they die and that's it?
Yeah.
Because we all know that freaking story. You don't have to introduce us. That's Batman.
Absolutely. We've seen it like five times in the past 4 years.
Like, you can cut Thomas Wayne out of this movie completely, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think, well, yeah, I guess you needed a speaker for the rich.
You needed kind of that some kind symbol. Of, but like, it didn't have to be Thomas Wayne.
No, it didn't have to be. It could be Mayor.
I know, but wouldn't you, don't think though, if it wasn't, you'd be like, why wasn't it just Thomas Wayne? You had it right there. Like, you can't see yourself saying that? I can.
I mean, like,
The Bruce Wayne stuff is Martha.
Is too much.
Why couldn't the voice of the rich be Bruce? Like, pre-Batman Bruce?
Or just some other jackass or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. There's that.
I just find it weird that, like... So it being a Batman sort of universe movie, that the Joker is in his like mid-40s and Batman is like 9. So when Batman actually becomes Batman, Joker's going to be elder. Like, that makes no sense to me.
Man, hit me! Hit me!
My hip!
It was... Those were the two biggest flaws I found in this. Yeah. In this. Aside from that, like, I just enjoyed the ride.
Joaquin does a phenomenal job.
Is what we thought he was going to do. I can't picture anybody else right now winning that award.
It's crazy, man.
It's his to lose.
It's hard.
I can't believe he's, like, the prohibitive front runner to win.
He's won every award, I think, for actor. Except for ensemble, obviously, but that's clearly what it is.
But I mean, they have a best actor. Best male actor, they actually call it.
I think it was. I don't know. I thought he did really, really great in it. What else was I going to say? So you guys were talking. I think you guys were talking about doing more with this at some point in your review. But I don't want to see him in any Batman movie at all. I don't want Batman in any one of his movies.
Would
at
you
all.
Like him though if he was? It was him versus another supervillain, which is what we brought up
possibly
because like so we've read. I mean, I was very disappointed in it, but the War of Jokes and Riddles between him and
that's
Riddler.
Right.
How great would that movie be?
I still don't.
Where it focuses on them and Batman takes a back seat.
I still don't know because I'd prefer him. I prefer. Joaquin Phoenix is still doing Joker. I don't want him in any other crossover.
He's better by himself.
He's better alone.
That's why I would rather see him at taking the front seat of a Batman movie where Batman is like way in the back.
Well,
like here's third the thing, row.
You bring in another supervillain, you kind of lose the charm of this movie.
Where else are you going to...
It's not a superhero movie. It's not...
But if...
Supervillain versus else, super...
If you had to continue this story, where would you go?
What if it was like, though, Sam, like, what if he's, like, teaming up with another supervillain, and they're not doing any crazy, like, we're going to kidnap the mayor kind of caper. It's just, like, something, and, I don't know, the other one turns bad, or, I mean, worse, like... I don't know. I
don't have the confidence they could pull that off.
I want more Joaquin, but I don't know how you're going to do it.
Just go watch like a bunch of other Joaquin Phoenix movies and just pretend he's the Joker in that. Like, go watch Swing The away, Master.
Joker.
Right.
I want this to be one
and done.
You know
that time the Joker was like the Emperor of Rome and killed his father? Well, who's laughing now?
Yeah. Oh, Russell Crowe.
What did you think though? Like the whole like last act with like the Robert De Niro show.
I liked it. I thought it was just so far out there that I think I liked the lead up to it more than his whole speech. I think I liked the idea of him like walking into the living room as the music's playing and he's, you know, doing the exact same thing. I don't know who was on the TV at the time, but he's doing this exact same entrance as the other guy on the TV. Mm. Then he sits in the chair and all this other stuff, and he just starts pretending to tell the knock-knock joke with, you know, and shooting himself. But I don't know. Overall, I want this to be one and done.
All right.
I don't want any more. And I still think Heath Ledger is my favorite Joker.
I mean, it's Mark Hamill, but okay.
I think to me they're so like they're doing similar but different. Like it's tough to compare.
It's very well with Batman, Heath Ledger. Without,
like I said, Joaquin when Phoenix. We reviewed this, the difference between the two is Joaquin's is a man without a plan, whereas Heath Ledger's has a plan.
Again,
even though
he thinks he has a plan. Well, I don't know if he actually
does. No, he has a plan in The Dark Knight. But
what if I put it to you this way?
Yeah, Dark Knight.
He tells Batman, he tells, does it look like I'm a man with a plan?
Right. And yes, and he is.
But and then he answers, he clearly does. But the joke's on you because he actually does.
Yeah.
Hence Joker.
Right. But
are you familiar with it, Sean?
Who is this Joker fellow you speak of?
Do you understand, though?
No, I know, like, but like the whole point of Joker is he's supposed to be a man without a plan. He is the definition of insanity. Like, that is kind of the point of him. And you get that more, like, Heath Ledger does an amazing job. And I keep pointing because we actually have a Dark Knight poster in this room with Heath Ledger on it, the Why So Serious poster. So I'll keep pointing at it when I talk about it, but... he does an amazing job as the Joker, but the thing that his Joker lacks is the fact that Joker doesn't have a plan. He doesn't have an escape plan, basically. He knows what he's going to do, but he doesn't have, like... So, when he poisons all of Gotham with his laughing gas, then what? He doesn't have a plan. Like, there's nothing. Whereas... Joker from The Dark Knight, he has a plan. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take down all of crime, and I will then become the crime boss.
In this movie, he has
no plan at all. He's basically thrown into like the king of, you know, of crime in this movie because he goes off the rails and kills a guy on TV and admits to killing three other rich people.
You know what the difference is? Where like Heath Ledger's Joker is. Like a more comical, it's not the right word, but a version of insanity.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Joaquin Phoenix is a very real depiction of insanity.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Like a depressing version of insanity. Yeah.
Like this is a person you would actually find.
Yeah.
Depressing and like, pathetic is
it's like this is how people with mental illnesses actually are,
which is like the better one to have when it's like a POV character.
Because
it makes you know, I don't know how you're ever really supposed to feel about him like in the entire movie, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But it does at least open the door to like empathize.
Oh yeah,
as crazy as that sounds for what he does. Yeah, it's one I've been meaning to rewatch, but there's a lot out there at the moment and other things to rewatch as well. So
yeah,
so Chris,
the movies.
Do you have any? Do you want to give it a review?
Eight six.
What did you now? Because you actually looked at our numbers.
Those are eights, low eights.
We were all low eights. Okay.
Did I give it an eight?
I think we all did.
I don't recall. I was the highest.
I was not fond of this movie.
I was definitely highest.
I just remember being disappointed. And not that I didn't like it.
No, but
I thought it was going to be a 9.
It could just be the timing of I'm watching it now instead of, what, four months ago?
You're watching in the wave.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Plus, everybody hyped it up all nice when the first, like, what, within the first month or two?
Yeah.
Just let all that die down.
I still run into people where I'm like, oh, Joker was a good film, but, like, it wasn't a great film. And they're like, what are you talking about? That was a great film. It's like, all right, I'll give it to you, I guess. I'm not going to fight you on that, but, like,
this is the, of all the 9 Best Picture nominations, I think this is the movie that America likes most.
I would, yeah.
Well, it definitely made the most money of what's nominated.
But it's not a lot of people talk about it.
Yeah, you know? But people are obsessed with the Joker. That's why. Like, I mean, just think back to, like, as far as you can with the Joker. Like, it's a fan favorite character. So, like, to give him a solo movie, that's huge. Like, he's probably one of the most iconic villains in all of comic books.
I just still find it funny too how, like, they set that movie up like it was like the incel movie, but it's actually like the Antifa movie. Like, really?
Somebody, the podcast we listened to, they were comparing it to Antifa.
Maybe use that similar phrase. Might have copped it. Right. But it's very true. And it was just such a bizarre controversy that wasn't even really like had anything to do with the movie. Do we have anything else we want to talk about?
Well, speaking of Mr. J.
Oh, right. Birds of Prey.
Birds of Prey comes out next Friday.
Oh, can't wait.
So, early reviews have come out. So, this is a spinoff of Suicide Squad.
Could I, before we get there?
Sure.
Do you guys care? You guys actually care about this movie?
No.
Yes.
No, not at all.
I told you last year, this movie I'm looking forward to.
He's actually looking
forward to. And this movie has gotten a lot. Like, I'm very worried. Like, I think this is going to be a massive, like, flop. I haven't looked at what the tracking is, because what is it, next week you're saying?
It's next Friday.
But I've got a bad feeling.
So early reviews are out.
What's the budget for this? Do we know?
Ooh, I got to imagine it's north of, like, probably, like, 120.
You think? That seems pretty high.
I think it'll be closer to 80. It's a comic book movie. I mean,
you got Mary Elizabeth Winstead as the Huntress in this movie. Margot Robbie doesn't come cheap anymore.
Yeah, Ewan McGregor is the villain. We followed it. This is essentially Margot Robbie's kind of pet project, you know?
Yeah. No, I think she's producing it.
I think this is similar to the case with Deadpool and Ryan Reynolds, where they'd sacrifice anything to kind of make this.
Yeah. So early reviews came out. I believe today, maybe it was yesterday. I think yesterday was early reviews. Today, all the reviews are coming out on Twitter and whatnot. And, guys, this is getting phenomenal reviews.
I know.
Great review. But you know what? Notice what all of them have, like, in common? Everyone says Ewan McGregor is phenomenal in this movie. No one mentions anybody but Ewan McGregor.
The reviews I've read are saying he's the standout.
Yeah. Like, he's, like, everything is, like, for your consideration, Ewan McGregor Best Actor, like, award. Like, everybody's, like, throwing it that way.
Which is just, I mean, so preposterous.
I know, yeah.
About a $90 million budget.
Yeah. So, based on what I've read from all these reviews, and from my memory, which isn't as sharp as it once was.
Jesus. What would you, out of 10?
Well, what, like, my memory out of 10?
Yeah, out of 10.
I don't know, probably a 7.
Okay.
This is exactly what happened with Suicide Squad, was it not? Early reviews were phenomenal.
Weren't they just like, yeah, it's good?
No, they were like, this is amazing. This is the best DC film.
Well, I don't recall that.
Was that the super early fan moron stuff?
Was before they did the verification that you actually saw the movie, too.
No. They released it early to the fans. And but they that all was
like
came months. Out.
That was like in May, though.
Right? But that's kind of what this is too. This was released for fans. Like, this isn't the media saying this. This is fans saying.
This is that. I mean, literally, fans who get like bought off with like early access privilege is like the last people you should ask
which is kind of going with my point that like Suicide Squad went through the same thing where everybody was like, wow, Suicide Squad, best DC film so far since The Dark Knight. This is the, like...
I mean...
This is... And it,
it really could have been.
It could have... Oh, but it wasn't. It was a mess from the beginning.
I mean, they could have just focused on Slipknot the whole time and made us the movie we wanted, but...
What's his superpower?
Nope, don't even say it. Don't even say it.
Oh, so these are all like... So these aren't actual like critics.
No,
these are
all, it is like, not critics. It's yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this is you're exactly right, what happened.
When is the ban, critic ban?
I have no idea.
I would guess if it comes out next weekend, probably around this time,
Tuesday,
like
Wednesday usually.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, but this, like I said, this is exactly what happened with Suicide Squad. Everybody was like, oh, it's the best. This is phenomenal. These people are great. And it was a mess. It was a horrible movie. It made a lot of money. Don't get me wrong there. And this will make a boatload of money. But I almost guarantee you it's going to be a mess.
I'm getting like Suicide Squad flashes with this movie. Where it's like, look how zany it is and crazy. And it's going to...
colors.
It's going to be hot mess where you have no idea.
Would you fault this movie if it goes crazy like that, though? Because that's what it's... The trailers itself are portraying itself as this.
If it can nail it, sure. Yeah, like, I'm fine with crazy and zany. But like, let's be honest, Suicide Squad was just incoherent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if it's like Deadpool 2, like, oh, hey guys, look at this, I'm trying to do something, why won't you acknowledge me? Like, oh, look how zany I am. Yeah, I'm not going to be super excited on that one.
Yeah.
I'm not holding any high hopes on this one.
I have no reason to trust this movie.
No, there's no reason to trust DC.
You have nothing
even
to lose
with, Joker,
with this movie either.
No, but even with Joker coming out.
$10.
This is still in the DC
matinee.
EU, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they're like, you know, they're the ones calling the shots. Right. Whoever is like running the DC like film part of it.
Right. And this is still part of the Justice League universe. Even though they're like trying to distance themselves as much as possible.
I really wonder if we're going to get like a Batman cameo or
no, because it's not a Batman
clip or whatever.
You won't get Batman.
Just started shooting, by the way.
Yes, it did.
What, Pattinson
Batman?
Batman.
Yep.
I don't know, man. It's, if there is a movie that's shooting around the time where they actually have a casted character.
Yeah, but it just started.
But
this has
been
done for a while.
He's been announced for a while.
You might see like a little tease during Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I
okay.
That I believe this, no. No chance. Because they just started.
All right. We'll see. We'll see what... There's got to be a stinger at the end or something. There has to. It's a comic movie.
I don't know. They just kind of don't do that. It's like... And like, I kind of salute them for like just not trying.
I don't know if it's them not trying. It had the talking caterpillar thing. I don't even know the villain.
Did
I remember sitting there and being like,
Wonder Woman have
I
it?
I have no idea who this is.
I don't think Wonder Woman
no,
had
I don't
it.
Think.
Did, are Justice you sure it didn't League? Have a Justice League thing?
Oh, might have had a Justice League thing.
Yeah. Wasn't there like the far,
yeah.
what's
no,
his name?
I think Ben Affleck
bad
came.
Guy. Did he?
And talked to Diana Prince? I think
maybe.
Ben Affleck came and...
Putting together a team?
No. What was it? It was a... Oh, no.
I don't remember.
Oh, no. Okay. I keep thinking he sent the picture to her.
I don't
remember.
I mean, yeah,
that
no,
was,
he did. He did send that
picture
to her.
But that was during the movie, right?
Yeah, I don't remember if that was...
I don't want to rehash the Justice League.
I need
League.
To rewatch Batman vs. Superman.
No, you
oh,
don't.
No, you don't.
Well,
I heard.
Needs
I heard
to be some things.
I heard
involved.
That director's cut is like actually decent. Maybe I gotta check it out. I don't know. I'll report back.
Yeah, Wonder Woman does not have a post credit.
Okay.
Anybody seen anything good on streaming lately?
Supernatural season 4.
Yeah, so you're still going strong on that.
I'm slowing down though. I'm slowing. Not because the episodes are bad. It's just. It's a lot.
You get fatigued.
It's 22
episodes.
22 episodes
a season. So yeah, you're at almost 66 episodes. Like, it's a lot.
It's like eating a lot of popcorn. You know, it's like you might really like popcorn, but like, damn, it's just, you know.
Yeah. I get the same way with the X-Files. Every now and then, I'm like, ooh, I'm gonna watch all the X-Files now, and then like I get a season in, and I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna skip to the good ones, and then I just give up.
Yeah. American Factory, the documentary.
Oh, yeah.
Nominated
maybe,
documentary.
Maybe we'll talk about it next week.
We could.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Watch that one. It's on Netflix. It's easy. There are Mandarin. There is a lot of Mandarin in it, so you'll need to pay attention to subtitles.
I've got two Amazon recommendations.
All right, what you got?
First one is Brawl in Cell Block 99.
Yep, okay, that's from a couple years ago.
Yep, 2017, starring Vince Vaughn, doing a very weird southern accent for really, like, no reason. This movie is like... So, like, you know, you're looking at orange juice, right? And you're like, nah, I usually like the regular home style. I'm going to go with extra pulp. So what you do is you buy two, you take one out, you drain one just for the pulp, and then you add that to what's left of the other one. And that's this movie, just overflowing with pulp. Like, it's... So, it's kind of like a very, like, gritty-ass, like, action movie. So, Vince Vaughn is, he's in jail. And it's, like, so over-the-top, but not in, like, machete Expendables, like, played for laughs.
It's Bone Tomahawk. It's by the guy who did Bone Tomahawk.
Yeah, Craig Zoller.
Yeah.
And, like, it's, and, like, Don Johnson shows up, and he goes to this, like, secret prison that's, like, and he's not, like, in the military. Like, he's, like, you know, like, he, like, maybe killed a guy in New York. Or no, he was, like, dealing drugs. and it's, like, everybody who comes out of the prison is, like dressed like they're Nazis, pretty much. And it's real. I would recommend it.
Yeah.
It's not, like, a great movie by any stretch of the imagination.
I've heard nothing but positive things about this movie.
It's one of those movies you just watch, like, oh, this movie rules.
Yeah,
like, exactly. it's not really that good, but it fucking rules, man. And I'll tell you, another one, a little on that level, it's called Good Time, which by the Safdie brothers, who also did Uncut Gems, which hopefully we'll get to talk about one day. it's with your boy, Robert Pattinson. And
your boy, I don't know how he's my boy.
Your boy, Bob Pattinson.
Bobby Pattinson.
Bobby from The Lighthouse.
Jeez, that's right.
Yeah.
And that's another, like, good-ass, like, gritty crime movie, so.
Okay. For me, on streaming, I mentioned it to you guys. So, October Faction, it came out, I believe, last weekend. It's just, like, a mom and dad who fight monsters, and the kids are seniors in high school, and they don't know. And it's got, like I said to Chris, it's got Cam from Bones, which is literally the reason why I watched this.
You said that earlier, and now I'm thinking about it. Is that the exact plot to Danny Phantom?
Sort of, but the kids know. It's just the parents don't know they don't know he's Danny Phantom.
Oh, yeah.
They don't know, Sam.
I'm just saying, isn't the show just live-action Danny Phantom?
Yeah, but the parents are actually, like, competent, whereas in Danny Phantom, they're not.
I didn't watch a lot of Danny
Phantom. God, Sam, watch more Danny Phantom. No. I'm seriously probably this weekend going to be watching The Fanatic. I really need to watch this movie.
Yeah, so this is... have we talked about this previously on the pod?
I don't know if we've talked about it
on the pod. It's John Travolta with an incredibly unfortunate haircut.
It's like a bowl cut, but he didn't use, like, a big bowl. He used a cereal bowl.
Yeah,
and he's got, like, that heavy 5 o'clock shadow kind of like,
and he looks like John Travolta still.
Yeah, and it's Fred Durst directed it and wrote it. Yeah, so, and it's about
the guy who's like a stalker.
Yeah, like Fred Durst's real life stalker. And I really need to see this movie. like, it looks so bad. It's
and
great.
He was doing it all for the nookie.
Yeah, the nookie. So you could take that cookie.
Sticking it up here.
Yeah. No, anyways. '90s.
I was looking on scrolling through the book, and it said songs that have turned 20 years old this year.
Yeah.
Not Fred Durst, but Limp Bizkit was on there.
Oh yeah.
What, Roland?
It was Roland, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Yeah, and then...
I have a great list at work. It's the top 200 rock songs of the aughts. And they use the term rock...
No, that was 90s. That was 90s.
They use the term rock very lightly.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
200 songs.
Because, like, Adam Levine's on there. Sugar! Yeah.
That's not Avril Lavigne. That's Maroon 5.
That's Maroon 5. No, not Adam Levine. Adam Lambert, sorry.
Oh.
The What Do You Want From Me?
That was in the aughts.
That was, yeah.
Man, right at the very end.
Yeah. What the hell is he doing now?
He's touring with Queen. He is the front runner with Queen.
He was at the Oscars last year.
He's Queen's little Filipino guy.
Yeah.
That's right.
But yeah, it's one of my favorite playlists because it's just so batshit crazy. Like all of it. Like, oh my god! Like,
what else you got on there?
I mean, all the normal ones that you'd expect. So like, there's Limp Bizkit, Linkin Park is all over that.
Probably a couple of Metallica songs on there too.
There's only one.
Really?
Oh no, sorry, two. My favorite, Saint Anger, because it's such a bad song. And the other one is like No Leaf Clover Live.
It's got to be like Third Eye Blind on there.
Nope, that's 90s.
I could have swore they were in the 2000s.
No.
They were kind of.
No, but like they were. That was like the tail end. Like the Semi-Charmed Kind of Life kind of stuff. That was the 90s. Avril Lavigne is on there a lot. Ooh,
what was the song of the summer that year?
Girlfriend?
Like Girlfriend, yeah.
That's not on the list, no? But don't worry, that's on my computer at work that I play all the time.
Well, that's good.
I blast that at work.
Sam, what are you watching, by the way?
Yeah.
Last one, round it off.
What am I watching right now?
Streaming, yeah.
Well, I've been playing a lot of Hearts of Iron 4, which is a World War II grand strategy game. So that just like puts me in the mood where I'm just rewatching Ken Burns' The War. Nice. I'm just in a World War II state of mind.
I might
start watching, was it World at War? That like,
oh, the one from the BBC BBC. Like 30 years ago?
Yeah, that's a good rewatch.
What is that on?
It's on Netflix. It might not be on Netflix anymore. I don't know. I haven't checked, but...
Oh, okay.
No, it was, though. You're right.
It was for like a long time.
Oh, man.
Well, anyway... Wow. Should we wrap this up?
Yeah.
Next week, we should do the 2020 thing.
Yeah, and World War II documentaries.
Why don't we also tag on whatever trailers or things that come up during the Super Bowl recap. And, you know, hopefully it's a fun Super Bowl anyway.
What do we got in the Super Bowl? I got the 49ers 30 and Chiefs 27.
I got 49ers 43, Chiefs 40.
I haven't thought about it.
I haven't thought about it.
The food.
Yeah, food. Mainly the food. Lots of smoked food.
We'll come at you strong and hard next week. That does it for us for this week. But this week, until next time.
Bye.
Adios.
Respect.